please do keep your Bibles open to the passage that we read in 2 Corinthians 9, chapter 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to 15. And we're going to be looking at the subject today of why we give generously. Let me just pray as we come to God's word. Father, we thank you for the sacred word of God. I thank you that it is infallible, inspired. Thank you, Lord, that it is the living and active Word of God. Speak to our hearts, we pray, Father, through your Word and your Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, we're looking at the subject of generosity, which is great. And one of the great joys of the Christian life is actually this lifestyle of generosity. And we shouldn't really need to be Christians as followers of Jesus, are generous and are called to that generosity. And I certainly remember my own testimony around this when I was a student, and we were having a great times of meeting with the Lord in our student group up in St. Andrews in Scotland. And I remember that the first time I caught the bug of generosity was when I had really met with the Lord. And I remember I was sitting in my church one Sunday morning, and suddenly I had the sense of, you know, you need to go to the cash point and get out some money and give it. And obviously when I was a student, the cash was not in plentiful supply, even though it was better probably than it is now in those days. But I remember going to the cash point just because of joy, really. It wasn't because of compulsion. Nobody made me do it. It wasn't because someone had said you must give or any pressure or anything like that. It was actually a sense of the overflowing joy of the Lord, because we'd encountered God's love. And I remember just thinking, well, yes, let's just give. It's great. It's something to be embraced and cheerful and joyful, not difficult. And I remember that was the first time really for me that I engaged properly with that sense of giving, and giving to the Lord with joy. I remember my parents, who lived by faith, really, for the 25 years. They stepped out of business into ministry and lived by faith, and saw them do that, and that was a remarkable example to me as well. When Caroline and I got married 19 years ago, we made the commitment and the decision that we would just tithe our income right at the beginning of the month, so that it was just first income to the Lord, and then we get what the Lord gives us after that. So, and we've been doing that all over these years, and then also doing offerings in other places as well. We believe not only in giving to the local church, but in giving to other organizations, mission organizations or charities that do such good work and make such a difference in our world today. They all need our giving and our generosity. And today I'm just really using this passage as a place for us to be reminded and called afresh to continue and maybe to renew our desire to be generous in our giving. And there's just a number of things here. Three things I want to draw out for us today. The first one about why we give generously. The first one is this, that generous giving is a testimony of our freedom in Christ. As it says here, whoever gives sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever gives generously will reap generously. I wonder whether we are sparing or generous, and what that might say about our heart. Because actually God wants us, it says later on that we're not to give under compulsion or anything like that, but God loves a cheerful giver. Our giving is not to be a matter of pressure, but to be a matter of joy and of generosity and of cheerfulness as we give unto the Lord. And it's a measure or a testimony of our freedom. So the kingdom of God, as we know, the kingdom is an upside down or you might say a right way up kingdom, because it is we live by dying according to the kingdom of God. We gain by losing, we receive by giving. This is how it works in the kingdom of God. It's actually the right way up. In our culture, we think we have to protect everything and only give what you don't need Whereas in the kingdom of God, it's the opposite. Really, we start by giving, and then we live by God's grace on what we have left. And the first of our giving goes as unto the Lord. We give not to organizations or to charity. We give as unto the Lord. It's not so much the charity, it's the Lord that we're giving to, but we're giving to church or charity through giving unto the Lord. And it's to be a joyful freedom that takes place in our lives. It's a matter of the heart. It's not the law, it is the heart. God is looking for us to grow in the maturity of freedom in our hearts. Freedom to give. Freedom to enjoy that giving. Sometimes when we withhold generosity, it is through that, often maybe through fear, or perhaps control, or pride, or something that is causing a withholding when we are to give generously. Some people might say, objecting, you know, when I think why we give generously, why not give generously? Some people decide, well, it's my money. I'm not going to give generously because I've earned it. It's my money. And in Psalm 24, it says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So there you go. Actually, your money is not your money or my money. It's nobody's money. It's God's money. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, according to the Psalms. So you can't really use the argument of, well, it's my money, because we're all on borrowed breath and time and everything. Every breath that we have actually comes by grace through God. We don't earn our way to God. We actually, the whole of life is a gift. Every part of life is a gift, and it's a gift from God. Some people may well say, well, I just don't want to give. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, it says, actually, let's just, I want to read this verse because it's sometimes a verse that we can skip over. Paul writes about the collection for the Lord's people, and he says, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Then when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction, and he goes on and on. And he's saying here that really everybody, the whole church, he's calling the whole church regularly to be regular givers, and saying it's part of our responsibility as a family. It's part of our joy together that we get to enable and help and support and sustain the people of God together. Some people will say, well, I won't have enough if I give. And I certainly don't want anybody to, if people are in debt, I would encourage you to sort out your debt. There's no pressure at all. I think people need to get their finances in order, which is quite right to do. But even so, even if we're on a lower income or whatever, give as the Lord prompts you to give. Give what you've decided in your heart to give. It's not the amount that's the key, it is the heart. And it's the joy, and it's the generosity, and it's the overflow that God wants us to experience his love in. And we can really experience this place of the goodness of God in our giving, and a freedom in our hearts. It brings a freedom. When I was giving out of my student income, it wasn't because I had a lot of money, but it was because I had a full heart, an overflowing heart. And if you'd said to me, do you mind doing that? I'd have said no, because of the goodness of God. And that's really what the passage is saying here. Everyone giving cheerfully and in the place of freedom. He says, and God is able to bless you. It says, God loves a cheerful giver, not reluctantly or under compulsion. There's no compulsion. Don't want anybody reluctantly giving. We want us to be giving from full hearts. And the second thing, the first one was about generous giving being a testimony of freedom. In other words, we've got full hearts, and this is just part of our giving back to the Lord. The second one is giving helps us to put God at the center. Why should we give generously? Because it helps us. It's a discipline of generosity. Just like prayer is a discipline of intimacy. just like any of the spiritual disciplines that are taught in the Beatitudes or in the Sermon on the Mount, giving is all part of that discipline that puts God at the center of our lives. Verses 8 to 11, it says, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work." That's a wonderful thing to know, because, again, when we might be feeling, well, will I have enough? God wants us to abound. He wants us to be generous so that He can flow that generosity through us to others, but He will fill us up with all that we need. Not all our greeds, but all our needs. And as we put Him at the center, God is able to keep us going. And not only to keep us surviving, but to keep us in all that we need. Having at all times and in all places, we're able to abound, able to be generous. God is able. And that's a freeing statement to know in our giving. Yes, we give, but as we give, our God is able. We're giving because of the character of God. God is good. God is generous. God is able to make us abound in His love. And giving causes us to look to God, not to our own resources, not to our own selves. And here, in our culture that we live in, so many people are looking to themselves as, well, it's got to be me. I've got to sort this. I'm going to make my way in life, make my way in business. And of course, we have to work hard. And of course, we have to labor and work for income. But actually, our provision in life doesn't come from our own strength. It comes from the Lord. God is able. And as we give unto the Lord, and as we work to and do all these things as unto the Lord. The Bible also tells us that in everything you do, do it all as unto the Lord. Whether we're working or giving or saving or spending, whatever it may be, do it all as unto the Lord, under the Lordship of Christ, putting God at the center. God is to be at the center of our giving and our generosity. And when He is, that's a wonderful experience. The gospel is 100% free. There's no cost to us in receiving Christ and in knowing God's blessing upon us. God doesn't make any financial demand upon us, but he calls us out of the full and overflowing hearts that He gives us through His salvation and through His gospel to respond with generosity. We respond to the nature of God. God is good, generous, kind, gracious, overflowing with generosity to us. And that is to be our heart response to Him. It says there in verse 10, "Now He supplies seed for the sower and bread for food. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest of righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion." And I think that's telling us that the money that we've got is either for bread or for sowing. It's either for living or for giving. But the Lord calls us, it's fine to spend money. It's fine to use money to live, to spend, to save. We need things. You need a car, you need a house, you need all these things, and that's all good. That's the bread for the eating. But there's also seed for the sowing. And God wants us to not only use all our money for living, but He wants us to use some of it to sow out and to give out beyond ourselves. Not only to be using everything for our own natural resources, but to be using it to give it away and to sow that money. So I wonder how the Lord would cause you to sow. Sowing something small always produces something much bigger than what you've sown. The seed is tiny, but the fruit is amazing. The harvest is wonderful. And you may sow your income or your giving to the Lord, and you may think, well, this is just my offering to the Lord. But actually, God is able, like the loaves and the fish, to multiply what we sow for His glory and for His honor. And so it's good to spend, to save, to give in freedom. The key is the generosity that flows when God is at the center of not only our prayers, not only our relationships, but also our finances and every area of life. God is to be at the center. And then the third and last thing, giving puts the gospel on display. And you'll see here from verses 12 to 15, the seven words here that are so beautiful that speak of the gospel. It says this, it talks firstly about service. The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of other people. Giving is to serve. And giving supplies needs that are there. And we give because there is need as well. And we want to help to meet that need. But it also says, but also an overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. So there's this beautiful sense here of giving overflowing. In the chapter before, in chapter 8, Paul is taking a collection from the Lord's people, and there's the church in Macedonia, which is not a rich church. It's actually has a very meager income. But this word overflowing appears there as well. He says, in chapter 8, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify they gave as they were able and even beyond their ability." And where did that come from? It says that they had, even though they were under severe trial, it also describes them being in overflowing joy. Isn't that remarkable? What a testimony these Macedonian churches have. And they are putting the gospel on display. Even though they are struggling, because of the joy, the overflowing joy, and it uses that word here, also an overflowing, many expressions of thanks to God. That's where giving is meant to come from, the overflow of the heart, the goodness of God. And that's why the gospel is put on display through giving, because it's from the heart. It says there also, it says, "Because of the service which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience." That word obedience. We give in obedience to God. We obey the Lord. And we're called to obey God. Like Paul said there in 1 Corinthians 16, each one of you should set aside some money at the beginning of the week to supply the needs of others. And it's part of our obedience and also part of our joy. He says, obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. So there's a witness. That this confession of the gospel of Christ is about witnessing for Christ. And our giving is part of our witness. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we are generous people as well as witnesses. Then he goes on to say, "And in their prayers for you, their hearts go out to you because of the surpassing grace." And that's a beautiful word, that word grace. That means God's riches at Christ's expense. It's unmerited favor from the Lord. This grace that God gives to us. And the grace of God is all part of our salvation. That's that recognition that all that we have comes from Him. Undeserved, unmerited. And we are living our whole lives in the response to His grace. So we're simply, because God is gracious to us, may we be gracious and generous in our actions, in our discipleship, in our relationships, and in our finances, and in our everything else you can think of. May the Lord give us grace and generosity and overflowing abundance of heart and of the way we seek to live our lives towards others. The grace of God changes how we live, because we realize everything is gift. And that's what the last word says there. It says, "And God, the grace that God has given you." He says, thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. And really what he's describing there is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the indescribable gift to us. And in response to that gift, You know, we lay our whole lives down, never mind just our money. It's about everything, everything, lock, stock, and barrel. I surrender all. Lord, because you have given me new life, because you brought me back from the dead spiritually, Lord, here I am, wholly yours. It's a whole life of surrender, which includes everything. All, and we're going to sing in a moment, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And it goes on through the list. Take my voice, take my hands, serving the Lord, speaking for the Lord, thinking for the Lord, going for the Lord, and giving unto the Lord. It's all part of the same discipline of discipleship and of growing in the grace of God. And so today as we close, my prayer is this: Lord, set my heart free to give. I don't want to be with a withholder, because those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly, but those who sow generously will reap generously. This is not the prosperity gospel at all. It might be that you reap in a completely different way to the way you sow. God doesn't guarantee anybody an income, but he guarantees his grace. He guarantees the Lord Jesus Christ. He guarantees salvation as we come, which is all for free, 100% free grace. But as out of that freedom, our hearts overflow with generosity. And that is the liberating truth of the gospel. And God, may God set our hearts free to give. And I want to encourage you to give today. I want to encourage you to ask the Lord. It says there at the beginning, each one of you should give what you have decided to give in your heart, not reluctantly, but under compulsion. Not under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. And I'm just encouraging us today, just to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to give? And to give to St. Mary's, to give to other organizations, other charities, mission. We give to Tear Fund. We give to Open Doors and all these other organizations as a family, as well as to St. Mary's. It's all good. I encourage you to give to Epping Forest Food Bank or wherever you can give, give. Spread it. Sow it generously. And then the Lord is going to really fill your heart with that love and hope and overflowing. And so there are giving forms at the back. If you don't yet give, or maybe you give through the yellow envelopes, that's fine, or some other way, that's fine. But I would simply encourage you today, let the Lord touch you on this area of your life. Let me pray for you. Let's pray for us all together as we close. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that this is such an exciting opportunity for us to grow in your grace, to depend on you, Jesus. And though our world is so full of greed and so full of get, and possessions and so many materialistic things, Lord, I thank you that your kingdom is so different and so liberating and so free. And I pray, Father, that you give us hearts free to give and to be generous. Bless my brothers and sisters here today, Father, that we will really know that joy and cheerfulness of giving. In Jesus' name, amen.